Welcome into Spilly on the Rocks. It is Friday. What is Friday? What is the actual date of this Friday? It is the 16th. Yeah. Happy Friday the 16th to you. So let's get into the Rockies. Rockies were in Texas. The Warren Schaefer era had begun. They got swept in Texas by the Rangers. Rangers are now really hot, and I'm staying in Texas right now because I'm doing a Friday night Apple game. Day off yesterday for the Rockies. I heard they were going to try to do like a team event. We'll see what ends up happening. But right now, it is official. Rockies have the worst record in the history of the modern era through the amount of games that they played. So 7-36. Nobody wants to hear that. 1-9 in their last 10 games. Losing streak of 3 in a row. They have a minus 137 run differential. So, just to give you context, so run differential is a stat that we've started talking about in the last, I don't know, 10 years. Pretty simple, like the more runs you score than the other team, the most likely you are to have a winning record. So the Dodgers right now are leading the National League. They have a plus 71 run differential. They have scored 257 runs. They have given up 186. By contrast, the Rockies have scored 138 runs and they have given up 275. If you were to double the amount of runs the Rockies scored, you barely clip the Dodgers in runs scored. So that's how far behind their offense is. And then you add on top that the pitching's just been incredibly bad. 275 runs, there's not even another team. Within Angels are close. Angels are within 40 runs of giving up as much as the Rockies have. And they have a minus 67 run differential, but not a minus 137. So, I mean, you would have to combine, if you were to combine the Miami Marlins and the Washington Nationals, who are both in fourth and fifth place in the National League East, you combine them to combine them together, and you have the Rockies' run differential. So it's bad. Spent some time around the Houston Astros, spent some time around the Rangers this week. They're just looking at the Rockies team and trying to figure out, I was like, what do you do? They've already tried, with Warren Schaefer. They tried with Clint Hurdle. That's not the immediate fix. MLB.com has Bill Schmidt is optimistic about the trajectory moving forward. Okay. I will say that I am expecting today, this afternoon, as the Rockies are in Arizona, that we should see Parson. Jeez, why am I talking so bad today? Carson Palmquist, who is a top prospect for the Rockies. That's my guess. We'd like to see that. He's a Kyle Freeland type. But throws a little bit harder, upshoot fastball. So we'll see how that works. He's put up some really good numbers in AAA, and deserves the opportunity. Bill was asked about the road trip after he watched Michael Tolia, Sean Bouchard, and Owen Miller all represent the tying run, yet taking third strikes. And the quote from Bill Schmidt, "You didn't hear me screaming." Schmidt said Wednesday afternoon in his first interview. My wife did. So, yes, I get it. Bill Schmidt is really frustrated by the direction that the Rockies are in, but he is optimistic about the trajectory. I do know talking to Warren Schaefer, and it's already kind of been observed in the games, he's gonna mix up the lineup. So what will that look like? My guess is he wants Amador at IL Amador to hit near the top, probably lead off. Brenton Doyle's going to drop down in the lineup a little bit. And then I think you're going to see a little bit of mixing and matching. There's still guys on the roster right now where, obviously, like you meet them, you like them. But at some point, my guess is the Rockies are going to make some adjustments to the roster construction. It's just time to continue to make some changes. Corbin Burns is on the mound for the Diamondbacks tonight, and he's been really good. Corbin Burns signing a huge deal for the Arizona Diamondbacks. and Corbin Burns matching up against the Rockies. So I do want to talk about Pete Rose and the reinstatement. That was huge news this week for Major League Baseball. Pete Rose reinstated. Well, it's kind of complicated because Rob Manfred did this postmortem, right? Like, so he passed away, and he brought a bunch of people off the ineligible list, including the 1919 Black Sox. And it's basically Shoeless Joe Jackson is the only one from that team that might be Hall of Fame worthy. But in the case of Pete Rose, I've talked about this a lot on national radio. Pete Rose is a Hall of Fame hitter. He is the record holder for most hits by a major league player. He's the hit king, other than Ichiro, who, if you were to add Ichiro's hits and his NPB hits, his Japanese hits, Ichiro has the most hits in professional baseball history. So Ichiro is really the hit king, Ichiban. But in the case of Pete Rose, I know there's a lot of people that want him in the Hall of Fame. They're like, this, the Hall of Fame's stupid if it doesn't have him in it. He was gambling on baseball, but that doesn't impact how he played. Okay. You learn so much more about the player post career. And in the case of Pete Rose, since he was put on the ineligible list, and this was back in 1989 when they found him guilty of betting on baseball as a manager, he constantly said, "No, I didn't. No, I didn't." And that was part of the problem that Pete had, is that he failed to recognize what he did was wrong. There's other transgressions that he did. I don't want to talk about him, but you can Google search him. Google search Pete Rose, and see what other sort of issues Pete Rose had off the field. He was also caught using a cork bat. So even as a player, he corked his bat. I think it's fair to say Pete Rose is like an all-time scumbag, baseball scumbag. He gambled on the sport. He did it as a player, used a cork bat, and then had significant issues off the field. And then there's this one little piece of evidence. One little rule. It's called Rule 21. Rule 21. That was the rule after the Black Sox scandal that the Commissioner of Baseball, Kennesaw Mountain Landis, who, by the way, they used to be the Kennesaw Mountain Landis MVP trophy, but Mountain Landis was not a good person. So they removed that, and thank God it's the Hank Aaron MVP. But in the case of Kennesaw Mountain Landis, he created this rule, Rule 21, you will not gamble on baseball. The reason why that rule is so important is for the integrity of the game. I mean, that is it. If you don't have that rule and players can bet on the game or throw a game, then what are you watching as a fan? You're watching WWE. You're watching fake baseball. And so, in order to keep the integrity of it, Rule 21 is the most important rule. The most important rule in any sport is don't gamble on the sport. You cannot gamble on the sport because then there's probably some sort of point shaving and throwing of games. You have to keep the integrity. And for Pete Rose to blatantly break that rule, it's a no. He is not a Hall of Famer. Not a Hall of Famer. That is the one rule. And he did it as a player. There was evidence that he did it as a player. Now, did he gamble on his team? Did he throw a game? I don't know. But he broke the rule multiple times for multiple years, decades. And you want to put him in? The Hall of Fame is a museum, right? Pete Rose is in the Hall of Fame. He's in the museum. Getting inducted into the Hall of Fame is to, I mean, that makes you forever. That is glorifying your career. I don't think we glorify this career. I think we acknowledge it with numbers and stats, and his name's in the record books. But to celebrate Pete Rose for breaking that rule over and over and over again, let alone the morality clause, as viewed by sports writers, no. The other part, I do think he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame, believe it or not. And so I have my stance, not a Hall of Famer. Do I think he's one of the greatest hitters of all time? Yes. Do I think his talents were one of the greatest of all time? Yep. Not denying that. But I'm recognizing the whole of the individual, the whole of the human, the body of work, and then the breaking of the rule. And then never coming forward with it. I think I could have survived had he come forward earlier. If when he got caught, I did it. Dang, I have a problem. I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. That'd have been awesome. If he would have done that in 1989, Rose is a Hall of Famer. Show some sort of remorse. He didn't. So, and then of course the conversation opens up about now that he's off the ineligible list. It's a committee. It's an Eras committee that's going to vote on it. That committee is going to vote in 2027, so not this next year. And the earliest Rose can go into the Hall of Fame would be 2028, which is where I hope the meteor just crushes us all. But other than that, so do I think Rose is going to get in? Kind of, I think he does. Would I vote him in? That's a no. I do like that the sports writers are not involved in this one. They're not involved in this one, so that one's makes me a little bit happy. So we'll see. The other part, as I mentioned, Pete Rose opens up a can of worms. You know, like, do players get better after they're dead? Should you know, what makes them a Hall of Famer now that they're dead versus before? It's kind of a cop out. I agree with that. If they're ineligible while they're alive, they should be ineligible when they're dead. And that's not meaning to be morbid or you know, cold. It's not. And then as far as the steroid users go, I've had this thought with steroid users, and especially, you know, thinking about Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and this group of guys that played during this era. I was like, hey, what would you do, and how would fans feel? Because a lot, like, I think Barry Bonds is a Hall of Famer. I do. I think his career before 98, if I was to take 98 to 2004 and removed all those years from his stats, and I just go clean slate with everything up to 98, and then from 98 to 2004, I just remove those numbers. Can you get in on your numbers prior to that time frame? Barry Bonds is a yes. He was a 100 win player. McGuire, yeah, he's actually like a Hall of Famer prior to all those crazy years. Reason why I like this idea is because it resets some of the stats. So, you know, you had multiple seasons, like I think it was like four in a row where guys hit over 60 homers in a season. The single season home run record for Barry Bonds would be wiped. 73 back in 2001. That would make Aaron Judge the all-time leader in a single season home run. It would also remove Barry Bonds as the all-time home run leader, which would give it back to Hank Aaron. And I think a lot of people would feel better about that. And I think I'd be fine if they'd, you know, those guys that wanted to get now valued based on their era, they sign a document. It's not admission of guilt, but I'm allowing you to take these stats away from my records. And like, of course, the stats are the stats, but they don't count overall. I don't know. Tell me what you think. At SpillyGo19, follow the guys at Mile High Sports. I think I'm going to be able to come into studio next week.